In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our epistle reading from Galatians, the fourth chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, throughout our lives, there is a question that keeps popping up, keeps surfacing, keeps nagging and eating away at us. Children face it as they become aware of the world around them. Teenagers experience it as they grow older and gain some semblance of independence. Young men and women face it when they leave everyone they know and love and go to college or begin a career for the first time. Middle-aged men and women face it when their career plateaus, or children leave home, or your body aches from the simplest things, things you used to be able to do so easily, but now bring such pain and difficulty. Shoveling, sleeping in a bed, or sneezing. And older men and women face it when they retire from their career. In truth, everyone faces it when there's a major change in their life, especially if the change involves illness or trauma or loss. The question that confronts us at numerous stages and phases of life, it is a question of identity. Who am I? St. Paul's letter to the Galatians makes the answer at first even more difficult. Because in the verse that precedes our epistle reading for today, Paul tells us that we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. You heard it, didn't you? St. Paul's complicated answer, that harsh word, that nasty little reality that we try to hide from and don't want to admit. We were enslaved. As a Christian, it's probably most natural to think about sin, right? Enslaved to sin, you might wonder? Yes, Jesus also tells us of that reality when he says in John 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin." Jesus' words, though, from John 8, and St. Paul's words from Galatians, they are not general. You're not just a sinner by nature. That's true, but that's not exactly what's being spoken of. No, when sin is being talked of here later on in Galatians, the sin is very specific, it's very particular, it's very repetitive. Paul lists them in Galatians 5. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, brothers, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Harsh words, but a true reality. You might wonder at Paul's words, because they hit so close to home. They might cause you to reflect on sins that shackle you. What sins shackle you? Which chains do you so willingly put on? Sexual immorality? The lustful desire of physical pleasure that drives you to sexual thoughts or fantasies about someone who's not your spouse? Or to porn sites and magazines? To homosexuality? To premarital sex? To an extramarital affair? Idolatry. The love of something or someone other than God, because you believe that those things will give you security and support and peace and happiness and fulfillment. What do you worry about in life when you're driving alone in your car, when your mind begins to wonder and reel about things? What do you chase after? What do you believe your life should be all about? Family? Friends? Money? Health, wealth, recreation, entertainment, pleasure, status, reputation, possessions? Is the shackle fits of anger? Your deep-seated desire to control your life and the world around you and the injustice you feel when you can't do it. So it drives you to things that you can't hardly imagine and are ashamed of. Yelling at, screaming at, belittling, verbally abusing those whom God has given you to love. Your child, your spouse, your friends, your family at church, those who sit next to you in the pew or at voters' meetings, because you believe that they just don't listen to you. They don't understand you. Because they seem to question you and they seem to oppose you. Is your shackle rivalries? Our evil heart yearns for vengeance. Vengeance on those whom we perceive have wronged us. It drives us to hold grudges and to say, after what you have said, after what you have done, I refuse. I will never forgive you, even though God commands you to love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Is your shackle envy? The deep sorrow and injustice you feel when you see others have what you want, and that drives you to whine in discontentment about what you lack, lack of a spouse or a job or clothes or house or health or wealth or car or food, a number of people and families and in other people's pews on churches on a Sunday morning. Pick your color, pick your length of the shackle, pick the length of your chains. It really amounts to all the same thing. We are all enslaved to sin. But in chapter 4, that's not exactly the elementary principles that Paul is talking about when he calls the Galatians, or even you or me, enslaved. Talks about that later on in chapter 5, but in chapter 4, he's talking about the ways we try to justify ourselves before God. The way that we try to tell God and others, I'm a pretty good person. I've tried to live a pretty good life, I think. I hope I've done enough good to get to heaven. But the reality is, you and I aren't. We're not good. God's perfect law calls back to us. Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It accuses you. It accuses me. It says, you're wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You should know better. How could you? You failed, God. You failed your friends and family. You failed your own expectations. You failed yourself. God's law, it condemns us. No human being is justified by the works of the law. All sin, all fall short of the glory of God, and you and I are imprisoned and enslaved. And a slave cannot and it does not remain in the house, but he will be cast out into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and there is gnashing of teeth. The good news, if you pay careful attention to Paul's words, is that you were enslaved. Not that you are, you were. The good news is you are no longer a slave. If you listen to Galatians 4:7 again, you are no longer a slave. Dear saints of the living God, you are the redeemed. You are the ones whom God has sent free. For God gave his greatest Christmas gift that has ever been given to anyone. When the fullness of time had come, Paul says, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. He bore in his own body your sins and my sins, Paul's sins, on the cross. Christ has set you free. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven all your sins. You don't have to worry about justifying yourself before God. While there is no justification by our works, because of Christ, God says, you are justified. You are not guilty. You are justified by faith in the Son of God, Paul says, who loved you and gave himself up for you. And what's more, you are an adopted son of God. In baptism, Paul writes to the Galatians, you have clothed yourselves with Christ. You are clothed in Christ's righteousness. You are marked with Christ's cross. God has put his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, in your hearts. The Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. You are a full-fledged, adopted son of God. And since you are a son, Paul says that you are also now an heir to you. Because of Jesus' death belongs all that the Father has. To you belongs the kingdom of God. In time? Today? Yes. Today, in repentance and faith, you have come and confessed your sins. Today, God, who is faithful and just, looks upon you in the mercy of his only begotten Son, your brother Jesus, and says, here is what I give to you. I forgive you all your sins. Welcome home, my son. Yours is forgiveness. Yours is life. Yours is salvation right here, right now, today. But also, in eternity, when your brother Jesus returns in glory and he says to you, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world, you will be forever free. Free from temptation, free from sin, free from accusation, free from having to try to justify yourself, free from suffering, free from pain, free from sorrow, free from death. Who are you? Oh, wow. A serious question on the first Sunday after Christmas. But maybe it's actually not so difficult to answer after all. Maybe we just need to stop looking at ourselves, our name, our family, our friends, our career, our talents, our abilities, our failures, our sins, and simply fix our eyes upon Jesus. Simply look to Jesus throughout all of life's transitional stages and difficult phases. Because if you do that, then the answer is very easy, and it's very straightforward, and it's very joyous throughout all your life, from baptism to eternity. Baptism to eternity. That covers children, doesn't it? It covers teenagers. It covers young men and young women. It covers middle-aged men and women. It covers old men and women. Who are you on this first Sunday after Christmas? In Christ, you are a son and an heir of God. You are baptized into Christ. You're a child of paradise, and nothing and no one can take that away from all who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. Amen.